So last week, Pastor Steve was talking about be still and know that he is God. That's Psalm 46:10. And the Greek word, well, I guess it would be Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for know is yada. Everyone say yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada means to know by being familiar with somebody. So it's be still and know him. Get to know him. So how do we know somebody? I am a, you know, introvert, although a lot of people don't believe that when I tell them that. But I recharge by being alone. And when I'm with people, it's really hard for me to do small talk. So I have, like, in my brain these questions, you know, do you have any kids? Where do you work? Where do you live? You know, like those kind of things where you're like, I don't know what to do or how to get to know this person. And so the first thing you ask is, what's your name, right? And so if we want to know God, we can ask him, what is your name? And in the Bible, there's lots of names of God. But there's only one place that I know of where he says, I'm going to tell you my name, and then he says it. So we're going to look at that. It's Exodus 33, if you want to turn there. Right before this happens, the Israelites have made the golden calf, right? Moses went up to the mountain to pray. God gives him the Ten Commandments. He's all excited. He's coming down the mountain to bring them the Ten Commandments. He spent all this time with God getting. And what does he see? But everybody worshiping the golden calf. And what does Moses do? Gosh darn it! And he throws them down, right? He's angry. He cannot believe they did this. So Exodus 33, Moses is talking to God about, you know, he cannot believe what's happened. The Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, right? So he's not saying, you know, the people that, my people, right? God's not calling them his people anymore. He's angry too. Out of Egypt, go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you. I'll drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. It's funny, we always talk about the Israelites, oh, if they had just obeyed God, they could have gotten there faster. Here, God's offering them a shortcut, right? Hey, you don't have to fight any battles. I'll send you to the promised land right now. I'll send an angel with you to drive out all your enemies. But they don't want to take him up on it, because what's the stipulation? He's not going to go with them. So they can either go right now, take a shortcut, not learn anything, get what they think they want, or they can wait for God. So in this little part right here, we see, first of all, Moses does have a relationship with God. But right now, the people don't. They just chose the golden calf, right? That's their God right now. That's what they have just proclaimed. And they chose the golden calf. And like I just said, you know, it doesn't say people, our people that we together brought out of Egypt. He's like, Moses, those are your people now. You know, it's like when mom and dad are watching their child misbehave. Your son is acting that way, right? So it's kind of what God is saying. But he still says, I'm going to keep my promise because I had a relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I made them a promise and I'm going to stick with it. But his descendants have not made that choice, right? It's a choice. Your parents can follow God, but you still have to make that choice for yourself. The Israelites haven't made that choice yet. So let's skip down to verse 12. So we're still in Exodus 33. So here's Moses' decision, right? God gave him this choice. You can go now, but I'm not going to go with you. Moses says to the Lord, verse 12, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you. There's that same word again, yada. And continue to find favor with you. Remember, so Moses is telling God, remember, this nation is your people. It's like, your son too. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? The Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked, because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Skip down to Exodus 34. So we're going to see, like the Lord just said, all right, I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to proclaim my name. Exodus 34, verse 4. So Moses chiseled out two new stone tablets, right? Like the first ones. He went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. He carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then, this is awesome, the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. Okay, so what's the Lord's name? Here it is in verse 6. He passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Wow. That's what he wants us to know about him. That's what he's saying his name is. Good and faithful, full of love, slow to anger. And I've seen about this morning, there's an old song. I don't know if any of you, I'm sure some of you might remember it, but it's the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And I was thinking about that. My kids watch this show called Daniel Tiger, and they always have a little jingle like all throughout the song that will remind them of the main point of the little episode. So a couple times today, I might have you sing it with me, because you're going to find this little section is all throughout the Bible. Once the Lord proclaimed, hey, this is my name, David kept referencing it. A lot of the prophets referenced it, and Paul even referenced it. So they're like, this is important. So abounding in love means that he has more than enough love for me. And he will be faithful despite my actions, my thoughts, my attitudes, right? He is never going to run out of enough love for me. And he's never going to decide I've done something bad enough that he's giving up on me, right? He does not abandon us. He is patient. It's his name, and it won't change, right? The Bible says God is love. And then it lists what love is, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, and what's the very first thing it says? Love is patient. So that's what he's saying. My name is God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love and faithfulness. So who he is, does that change based on what I do? No. Does, you know, the fact that I'm Stephanie and this is my character, this is who I am, change based on what my kids do? No, I'm the same person, right? So sometimes we think, oh, you know, I've done this, now God's not going to treat me the same. That's not how it works. We're still his kids. who he is does not change based on what we have done. You can see here, I don't think God was very pleased with Moses for breaking the Ten Commandments, the tablets, you know, the first time out of anger, but still he's willing to patiently make them again and spend time with him on the mountain again. And he's forgiving the people that just rejected him. Right? Sometimes it frustrates me when people are like, you know, about Christians. Well, you're a Christian. You should know better. You shouldn't be acting like that. It's like, weird people too, right? And the only difference between us and the world is that we have received his forgiveness and grace. And we still need it too. You know, sometimes I think we're hard on ourselves. We're like, well, I should know better. You know, I can't believe I'm still doing this. But you know what? We still need forgiveness. It's not that one time. We need it every day. We need to come to him and repent every day. He cannot act in opposition to his identity. So he is patient, then he's going to continue to be patient with my fears, with my shortcomings, with the choices that I'm making. My identity is I am a child of a loving, gracious God. That does not change, even if I've done something that displeases him. Because I know him and I know that he's compassionate and gracious, I also know that I can come to him, right? If your kids know, okay, mom is going to kill me because I did this, are they going to want to come to us? If they know, okay, mom's going to be upset, but she's still going to love me and she's still going to be gracious, they're going to come to us when they've made mistakes, right? And it's the same with God. If we have this mentality, oh, I can't go to God, I did this thing, he's going to be so angry with me, then we're not going to be quick to repent, right? We're going to be like dreading it, dreading being with God, and then it creates space between us and God where we're like, oh, I don't want to show my face to him because, you know. But if we know and we remind ourselves, God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and rich in love, then I can say, all right, I know I messed up, but I also know he still loves me and he's going to forgive me and he wants me to come back to him. So the awesome thing is he gives us a blank slate every time we repent. It's not like he's saying, yeah, I'll forgive you, but you got to prove yourself to me now, right? He just gives us a blank slate. This is Joel 2, and he was a prophet to Israel as well. He says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments, right? So it's not an outward thing that we do. It's our hearts. Return to the Lord your God. Here it is. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He relents from sending calamity. Verse 14, who knows? He may turn, relent, and leave behind a blessing. Right? That's what Joel says God can do. When we repent and we remember that he's rich in love, slow to get angry with us, he says he can turn and relent. That word turn means repent. That's so weird. We repent, we turn from what we were doing and say, God, I choose you. He repents from what calamity, right, what he should do to us and gives us grace instead. Isn't that awesome? Right, we don't get what we deserve. And it says he will leave behind a blessing. We are never sorry that we chose to repent. So instead, he leaves behind a blessing. What does he give us in exchange? When we give him, you know, our hearts, and we say, Lord, please forgive me. I know I really screwed up. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He leaves behind a blessing, right? He comforts us. He gives us his friendship, his presence, and he reassures us of his love, right? I still love you, honey. I know you messed up, but I still love you. I was, you know, preparing for this. I felt God wanted me to use the story of Jonah, which I am in a second. But so I teach preschool to my daughter, and we were doing the letter F for fish, and I found this VeggieTale book about Jonah, and I didn't realize it was about Jonah, but it said the word fish on the front. I was like, okay, I'll grab that off the shelf. And here was the story of Jonah, and they are, you know, fish slappers. That's what the version is, you know, slapping each other with fish, and that's why they're so bad. It's kind of silly, but it's a VeggieTale version. So anyway, I was reading it to her, and in the last two pages, it had this little rhyme, and I thought it was really good, and so I'm going to read it to you. It says, is it too late to start anew? At this late date, what can we do? But Jonah rose and spoke to them. It's not too late to start again. You can do it. Yes, you can. God's got a starting over plan. A second chance is all you need. Then you can start again indeed. I thought that was so powerful, you know? God's got a starting over plan for us. Aren't you grateful that we can start over every day? We could start again with a blank slate, even like in the middle of the day. You know what? This morning was not good. But starting now, Lord, let's push that restart button and repent, and he forgives us. He never gets tired of forgiving us. Isn't that amazing? Like, I feel like, gosh, Lord, it's that same thing again. Are you really going to want to see my face and forgive me again? But he never gets tired of us coming to him and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He's always ready to take us back into his arms. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. Sorry, it was too hard not to sing it. I was like, I'll just say it. Okay, I can't. It's another catchy one. They used to be so good about putting scripture to music. I wish they did that more now. But anyway, his mercies are new every morning. It's like he's got a tank refilled all the time. There's always gasoline there we can refill, and we can always receive what we need, his love and faithfulness. But the tricky part is, and this is where Jonah comes in, he has that same patience that he has for me, for my enemies, right? And so he asks us to be ready to extend love and grace to those around us, just like he does for us. And it's part of our identity, right? We said earlier, if I remember, I'm a child of a loving, gracious God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. I know that's who I am, but I also know that's who he expects me to be, which is the hard part sometimes, right? Like, we've been doing this thing, like, with my kids where I'm like, we are hussies. And in this house, we are kind to each other. That's part of our family identity. Part of our family identity, being part of the family of God, is that we are loving and kind. It says they will know we are Christians by our love. Good. So it's our identity. It's what we do. And we should be doing it well. In Luke, Paul says this, or Paul, Luke says, in Luke 6, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Now listen to this. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So it's just like I said. If we want to be children of God, we need to be acting like we are children of a loving, merciful God. So Jonah, we know, did he obey God? Not right away. He was defiant against God's plan. And God was still gracious with him, right? He spared his life. He had the fish spit him back out. He forgave him for his disobedience. But Jonah's not ready to extend the same forgiveness and grace to his enemies, the Ninevites, right? So we're going to read Jonah 4. It's amazing. The whole book of Jonah would take you like 5 minutes to read. I didn't realize it was that short. It's such, you know, like when you're teaching the kids, it seems like it's just a long story. There's so much that happens. But I was reading it for this, and I was like, man, the whole chapter is only 10 verses. So Jonah 4. So he has, like Dad said, finally decided to obey after, you know, being in the fish for 3 days, being spit out. And God spared his life, so he shared the message with the Ninevites. And they are starting to repent. So you would think Jonah would be happy. Oh, Lord, you were so loving and gracious with me. Thank you that you're being loving and gracious with them. But instead, Jonah 4. To Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord. Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That's why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and rich in love. A God who relents from sending calamity, which is what we just read in Joel. Now, he gets a little dramatic. Lord, take my life. It's better for me to die than live. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Verse 5, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. He made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant, made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. Jonah was very happy about the plant, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. It chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than live. Verse 9, God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. I'm so angry. I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. Should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So I was looking at this and I was like, the Lord is concerned about the things he created, right? He's giving Jonah an example about this plant. Jonah's happy about the plant, but he's mad when it dies. And God says, what about those 120,000 people I created and I've been tending and taking care of, and they're about to perish? And all I asked you to do was tell them you should be happy that they're okay, right? Because all these things Jonah didn't create. God created, first of all, Jonah, right? God created this leafy plant, and it says God sent a worm and a scorching east wind to show a lesson. All that stuff he created and these people he created, we sometimes need reminded he's the master creator. He made me and he made that person that's hurt me, right? And he cares about both. He not only created the things in our lives that we love or enjoy, but also the things that we don't, right? Like this worm and the wind. But we have to accept both from him, trusting and knowing he is a loving, gracious God and my Father, and ask for his help to love the things that I don't love, right? We can't force ourselves to love them. But he's created us just like he's created those things. And in Psalm 145, David says, again, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And then it says, the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. He created all of us, and he has the same love for you and me as he does for people that do really horrid things that I can't even wrap my head around. And it's hard for us to understand that. It's hard for us to accept that. But God is patient with me, and so I have to choose to be patient with others. So we're going to play a song to close, and it's called Run to the Father. And just, I want us to take time to accept God's patience. How many of you know it's hard to be patient sometimes with ourselves, right? We get frustrated with ourselves. It's very difficult to be patient with ourselves, and it's difficult to be patient with other people. So while the song is playing, I want you to ask the Lord, where do I need to accept your love and grace in my life? And where do I need to receive your patience for myself? And then ask him, who do I need to extend patience and grace to? Is there someone I need to forgive, Lord? And allow him to fill you with what you need to extend that. Because like I said, we can't do it on our own. I know I can't have grace for myself on my own. But just allow your loving, gracious Father to wrap his arms around you this morning and to receive what he wants to give you.
You know, I was thinking those people that we might not like, we don't like what they say, we don't like what they believe, they're only 5 minutes from being part of the family of God. And it's the love of God that will draw them to him. And sometimes he may want to use you or I to share that love with them. Isn't that amazing? And then they go from the person you dislike to a brother or sister in Christ. So let's pray. Well, Father, thank you today that you spoke to us again about relationship. And you spoke to us again about who we are in you. But you also spoke to us about our responsibility of representing our Father well, reminding us that we are part of your family and what that should look like. So, Father, we do ask that you would forgive us for when we have not been kind, when we have not been loving or compassionate, when we have not been willing to show mercy, even though you have showed mercy on us over and over and over. So, Father, we ask that you would use us this week, even as we've already prayed earlier in the service, that you would use us to make a difference in someone's life, that you would give us the opportunity to say to them, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He wants a relationship with you. And he wants it so much that he sent his son to die in your place. What great news you gave us to share. We're not going around sharing bad news. We're going around sharing good news. And who doesn't want good news today? And so, Father, we thank you that you send us out with an assignment to act like you, talk like you, and look like you. And even as Pastor Steph reminded us, every day, your mercies are new, and we can say, God, I didn't do such a good job yesterday, but help me to do a better job today. Help me to do a better job today, because your mercies are new every day. Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Have a good day.